Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Eliza Kaler, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's BUNEKE.org.
Hello, 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 hello. I don't know about you guys, but every time we get to that ba-dunk at the end of the song, I always want to just throw my arms out and go, yes, we're here, especially on the last Thursday of the month, because we have Jean Albertson, my co-host, and Eliza Kaler, who is also my co-host. I feel like the family is all reunited. I'm excited about tonight, because just before tonight's show, we were talking about what are we going to talk about? And we hit upon several things. But first of all, welcome to the show, Jean. Welcome to the show, Eliza.
Hey.
How are you guys doing?
Hello. We're doing good tonight.
Yeah. Yes, good. I'm already jazzed up. Between that music and just being here with the two of you, my whole day has just turned into sunshine. It wasn't that way all day long. Today was a weird day. And I will tell you that I know that this COVID virus is doing things beyond the physical. I mean, people are dying. People are getting sick. People are getting better. People are standing in line. They're standing 6 feet apart. They're social distancing. They're wearing masks. They're wearing gloves. And the new normal is not normal. And it plays with our minds. But it also affects empathy. And I know Jean was talking about that just before the show. Would you like to go into that a little bit more, Jean?
Well, sure. Well, empathy, it's something that we all can relate to each other with, and we do show empathy to each other if we have it. I'm actually a professional empathy shower. Part of my training was to help people show empathy and how to do it. And so I'm really interested in the topic. And I was just saying before the show, I was saying that I'd read a fellow's thought today about empathy, that it really can be such a good thing to comfort each other and communicate feelings to each other. But at the same time, his point was that it can also be counterproductive and maybe even destructive if you have empathy, strong empathy, but only for people that believe like you.
Ooh.
And the point of his article was really kind of surrounding the divisiveness, the social divisiveness that we have here in our country right now. And as Eliza was talking about, and I think next I want to really definitely talk about is how this is kind of coming into a surge, a purge, of getting rid of so much of the negativity. And so I'm saying at this point that in this reading I had, he's talking about empathy being actually a negative force, when I've always considered it more of a positive kind of force. So what are your thoughts?
How in the world can empathy? Well, I guess it depends on the person who's empathizing with someone else. I mean, I could see that it could be negative in that. This is hard for me to say because I'm very empathic. And I guess if I'm expressing empathy towards someone who really needs to be in their negative world for whatever reason, if they're not accepting my empathy, it's like Because to me, empathy is just another expression of unconditional love. So if I'm trying to love someone or someone, okay, I'll take, for example, a cat. You may love your cat dearly, and you know your cat's suffering, it's got a thorn in its paw or whatever, and you want to help it because you're empathetic with this cat. You feel his pain, so you try to help him, but all he knows is it hurts, and every time you touch it, he scratches you or bites you because you're hurting him while you're trying to help him. Right. So I could see that with people too. So that way it would be, you know, if every time I try to give my husband a healthy meal and he throws it in the garbage and goes out to McDonald's instead, then it's counterproductive. Mm-hmm. So I guess you have to know how and when and whom to be empathetic with. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
This is my philosophy. Mm-hmm. Having empathy is having an openness of holding space for other people to be in the space that they're in without judgment. And what happens is when people are going through these struggling times or their own belief systems start becoming created based on their fear or what others believe or whatever is being pushed around them, and they become mm-hmm. part of, let's say, that equation of the masses, regardless of their own feelings or their own perception or their own empathy of what how they choose to handle it through a natural way and being coerced to believe this is the way because this is all, you know, going to cause harm or this is all going to cause something that they know nothing about, and we fall into this negative space, it reminds me of religious patterns. And I always say people always think that their way is the only way when really it's our way. It's our way. We all have our own belief systems and our own way of dealing and coping skills with what is surrounding us or how we're taught. And right now, because we're pushed into fear, we're pushed into uncertainty and chaos, people become part of it instead of rising above it and looking at it from a more loving perspective. They're looking at it from a more of fight and flight, like, oh my gosh, we're all going to die here or we're all going to be taken. And people are falling into that where from my own personal path, I'm staying in a space of trusting that I'm okay. It's all okay. And I will be vigilant. You know, there's just been this virus, but this virus is not going to go away. And it's funny because someone had, you know, I said I had this virus back in January, and I've been struggling with it up until recently. It finally is now, like, letting go of the symptomatic of all these things it's causing in my body. And I'm reading that other people across the world are going through the same kind of symptoms, different symptoms. Uh-huh. Awkward symptoms. Everyone's different, okay? They're having a different experience with the virus. And there is not one way. But someone had said, well, have you been tested? Are you going to find out? And I said, well, why? If it's a virus, it's going to mutate itself. And if there's 40 different versions, does it really matter? Because there's 39 others that I could get. Yeah. Or if it's like a cold, we're going to get it again if it's a virus. Because viruses are just that, a virus. Okay, so they don't even know what it is. I'm sorry.
We have a caller on the line. Let me see who it is, okay?
Okay.
Welcome to the show. Who's on the line? Hello?
Oh, my name is Jennifer. I have it on mute because my house is loud.
That's okay. Did you have a question, Jennifer?
Listening. No, I was just listening in.
Well,
hello,
welcome
Jennifer.
To the show.
Welcome.
Is this your friend?
Hi.
Elisa?
If you want to interact with us, you can interact with us as well. We're speaking about empathy tonight.
Yeah, because my kids are up still, so they're really loud, so I'm just listening right now.
Okay,
great.
That's fine. You can mute it and listen. So we're going to carry on.
Yeah, we'll just keep you here And if you want to jump in, just let me know and we'll have you jump in.
Sure, thank you.
You're welcome. We'd love have any other comments, because that's how we learn and that's how we grow, is by sharing what we each know individually. And you know, especially when I've got Jean and Elisa here, I learn so much every time. That's why I get excited the last Thursday of the month.
And me back at you guys. Same thing here.
Awesome.
I've been anticipating our conversation tonight all month.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
And we also have a little mutual admiration society going on here.
Nice. And if you want to go in a closet, Jennifer, go hide in the closet. It'll be quiet in there.
Yeah, closets are good for that.
Anyway.
Well, and I had to go sit in my car for quiet, so.
I know. We're in the car. We're in a room. Where it's all good. Anyway.
I'm in the hot room of my house, and I've got the door closed, and the cat's asleep in the corner. So it's probably about 100 degrees in here. I'm having my little personal sauna. But it's all worth it. It's all worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is a good time for me to take a commercial break. Let me go ahead and do that. And we'll be right back. And if anybody else wants to call in and with questions or comments about empathy, questions for Elisa, me, Jean, or Jennifer. Nobody knows who Jennifer is, probably, but that's okay. The number to call is 516-418-5651.
Are you tired of the same old, same old? Are you sick of having to switch from station to station to find something worth listening to? Well, honey, I've got the answer. AstronetRadio.com is the new kid on the block, and we're filling our slate with original music, entertainment reviews, sex talk, comedy, and so much more. So set your devices to stream AstronetRadio.com and never look back. We play what we want so you can hear what you want. AstronetRadio.com, serving East Texas and the world.
And we're back with Elisa and Jean, and Jennifer's hiding in the closet, staying away from her kids. we are here talking about empathy right now. And we were discussing earlier how empathy can be a negative connotation in the right circumstances, I guess.
Well, and I think mostly where I think I've seen it used is maybe being very, very empathetic, but only to certain people. You know what I'm saying? Within the divisiveness. Is that truly the empathy that I've always come to give from my heart? You know what I'm saying? Is that if it's not blanket? I mean, because someone said use the term unconditional with empathy, and that's kind of where I had always thought of it as. But I don't know. I mean, I'm seeing the evidence of the opposite around me.
Can you give us an example?
Well, I think if the idea that it's okay, you should be kind to people, but only people that are like you. I see it out there where, you know, it's okay. You got to make sure the poor people eat, but really only those poor people. These poor people really, you know, not so much. That sort of thing. It's not a blanket as a human. It's a pick and choose kind of empathy. That is part of the divisiveness that we have.
I'll be good to my circle. You be good to your circle. Let her be good to hers. He can take care of his, and then everybody can get along from their own little selections.
Well, sure, and just make sure you stay out of my way, because you better look out. You know, kind of.
Well,
thing.
Did you know there are three kinds of empathy?
Mm-mm.
I just looked it up. There's emotional, cognitive, and compassionate empathy. The empathy is the ability to sense other people's emotions. But there are people, a true empath, not only senses, I mean, anybody can tell if you see someone crying, you know they're sad.
Mm-hmm.
But a true empath feels that sadness with them. they share the actual pain of what they're going through. And if you are a cognitive empath, it's like, I can understand, I can identify. But I think we're all talking about more of a compassionate empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And being compassionate with people is certainly something else too. It's where you show more than just a little concern. You show a lot of concern, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Really a tenderheartedness, I guess. But,
yeah.
I mean, I know people that are tenderhearted and they feel really bad for other people, but they never do anything about it. And I'll be honest, I'm going to do a shameless plug for Be Unique right now. And my the other Jennifer, not the Jennifer who's on the line with us, but Jennifer East, who is my co-founder. Oh, she got off the line. I guess the kids got noisy. But the co-founder of Be Unique is very compassionate. She's very much an empath. And that's one of the reasons she and I became friends and business partners. But when we started Be Unique, we didn't have a clear direction. As most new businesses, you have an idea what you want to do. You start building your plan, and you know the business grows with you. And if you're lucky, you grow with your business. But we knew that we had to have philanthropy. Both of us really wanted to do something for somebody else. So we said, okay, well, we're going to start this for-profit magazine, and we're going to give, well, we'll decide how much, but we're going to give a percentage of our profits to a charity. Fine, that sounds great. You know how many charities there are out there? We started with a list, and it was over 150. And, you know, local charities, national charities, worldwide charities. We narrowed it down to 36. And we said, well, if we gave to each charity once a month, well, that's 3 years worth of charity. And then we decided to become charity. Somebody mentioned, well, why don't you become a nonprofit? And it has opened up, it's opened up the world to us to share our empathy and our philanthropy with so many other people in a way that we never dreamed possible. And just look at what we've been able to do with Green Gables. If we had not done what we do, we couldn't have done. If we hadn't done what we do, we couldn't do what we've done.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I know there are a lot of tender-hearted people, empathetic people that don't know. Maybe they don't know what to do with their empathy or don't know how to put it into play.
Exactly. That's why I used to teach people and what they actually had it. They just didn't know what it was, you know, and you know, how to use it almost, you know?
Yeah.
You have to remember people are being separated right now by a lot of interference. So separation is a great way to control people and their individuality instead of allowing them to come together as one. And that's what's happening. So it's about taking the initiative and knowing that, you know, you walk out there without the fear. You walk out there knowing that, you know, that person needs a hug. That person needs physical, you know, communication or exchange. And you're hearing all the stuff, stay away, stay away, stay away. People are conflicted about what our natural human knowing is all about, and we're being pushed to do everything against our human spiritual faith, because I know in myself, like, to hug somebody or to give somebody hope or to say, you know, here, let's do a healing, and you touch them or however you do things, it's all being distorted into this fear of, stay away. Everybody has the plague. Well,
right.
If we're going to live this way, then we might as well go into an enclosed capsule of a bubble, because there's really no way to control viruses when you know that your neighbor's getting a cold. How did she get a cold when she hasn't even left her house in 3 months?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen? I mean, we're being told to do things that are just, things don't make sense to me. And in my human mind, I'm thinking, okay, they're going to go to smaller planes and put more people on them, but they're not going to fill the middle seats of the bigger planes. But the bigger planes can't afford to stay in business because they can't fill the seats. And so they're going to have an alternative to go to smaller planes. And you're thinking, well, how is that going to work? And how do you get into an elevator and the elevator's not even 6 feet wide? Or how do you, I mean, there's just all these different scenarios. And we're being told one thing, we're being shown to do another. And it's about it's almost like we're metamorphosing into this new way of life. And a lot of it doesn't really make too much sense to me. That's all. And it's not about being empathic. It's like, look, if you want to wear a mask, if you don't want to wear a mask, if you want to stand next to me or not next to me, I'm like, I'm okay with all of it. I really don't care. Mm-hmm. I know what's good for me, and I choose what's good for me. I'm not going to disrespect you and do something disrespectful to hurt somebody else or make you feel uncomfortable. But when you're walking in an aisle and somebody feels like, oh, there's like, you know, let's scram and let's look at you and like you have like 10 eyes and they have to leave the aisle. Well, then you shouldn't be out in the stores, my dear, because there's like hundreds of people here and you're walking amongst them. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So it's like, where do you have this empathy, or where do you stand in yourself to say, okay, where's this healthy balance? Because we all have to get on in this world and live in this space with fear and thinking we all have the plague and we all need to stay away from each other and live isolated. I mean, that's against the human race. So where is this happy medium going to succumb? And I think that's what we're all trying to figure out, is where's this balance of being able to be together. And then you have people who are going to the far extreme of the negativity and not having the empath and or not having the feelings for others, and they're taking the law in their own hands and they're doing harm and they're doing violence and they're doing this. And these are even people who are people I even know have been agitated and acting very different. And it's almost like, okay, people are purging right now. And I really don't want to be out. I went out in it, and I thought, I am not going out in it. I can't be around that. It's just too...
It's a toughie.
It's very difficult to be around all the chaos. And I would rather stay above the storm. And, you know, look, we all have to be a realist. I mean, there is something out there that is making people sick. Okay. Well, it's going to go away because somebody sets a date to open Disney July 20th or whatever the day, or July 11th.
Right,
Okay, viruses don't just show up March 15th because Disney decided to close. I mean,
they don't follow calendars.
No,
they don't follow calendars. It's been here, and it's been affecting a lot of people, and it just got to the masses. And it has taken lives. And most diseases or viruses in the past have done that to people. You know, one life is precious, and it has taken many lives, but there's other things that have taken even many more lives. And, you know, if we're meant to go, we're meant to go. And that's my way of thinking in this world, is we're born into uncertainty, and we all are going to die. Mm-hmm. Nobody can escape that one. I would like to know how, because everyone's going to die. Are we going to die today? No. So are you going to live in fear that you're going to die? That's almost a trauma to your system there, to lower your immune system, living in that fear that you're going to die today. Because today could be the day you get the virus, or tomorrow could be the day. And we weren't born to think about that. We were born to live. So live in happiness, joyfulness, and care about each other. Let's support one another and bring this, you know, togetherness of we can get through this together, instead of separating and fighting and judging and calling in the police because somebody stepped out of their house and is talking to the neighbor. at 4 feet instead of 6 feet. I mean, I don't know.
I hear you. I'm with you.
It's just getting to the point where people are losing their perception of reality. They just, and I, that's funny that I'm even saying that because I don't even live in reality of reality. I live in my own perception of reality.
I think what people struggle with right now is they're struggling with is knowing what to do. Like you said, they don't know what they think. They don't know what they're feeling is like maybe not what they're supposed to be feeling because of what they're doing. Like you're saying, it's unnatural. But
people are losing
control.
That's the problem.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly it. And they think they have control. I mean,
well, people react, and this is what I use in my book. When people are in their ego, okay, the ego causes an emotional reaction. Whether it's a good reaction or a bad reaction, the ego causes an emotional reaction. When you stand in unconditional love, there is no reaction. It just is. So to teach people the difference and how to step up is what we as a collective have been groomed who are on the spiritual journey of being placed in this higher ascension of going to the fifth dimension and showing people that, you know what, faith will take you through. Faith, love, kindness, compassion, generosity, helping one another. You know, I had a client who had lost a child and needed guidance and grief help and came to see me, and the first thing when she walked into my path was, can I have a hug? And I said, of course you can. She's like, you're really going to hug me? Because nobody wants to hug.
Aww,
and you know,
that
it's
breaks
just
my
those
heart.
Little things, it's just those little things that people are out there suffering, and
yep.
And touch is a human necessity. We have to have touch. That's just who we are as you know, beings. And, you know, we're being told, like, oh, we can't touch. Well, how is that going to happen for the rest of our life? Because viruses are not going to just go away. I'm just saying. There's always going to be something else. So I say to myself, you know what? I have to do what I feel is right for me. And I think when everybody steps in that path of what is right for me, what is right for you, what is right for, you know, there's not a wrong way, but instead of putting judgment and anger and throwing your daggers because, you know, okay, if you think you're going to cross someone's path and be closer than 6 feet, you probably shouldn't go out.
Right.
I mean, there are situations where you go into a food store and there's a lot of people in there.
Yeah.
Well, And I got to tell you, I've seen people like holler at folks for going the wrong way down the aisle. You know, literally hollering at them.
Oh my gosh.
I have a lot of anxiety because, you know, I can't remember too many things all at once. And by the time I get there and I'm trying to remember what I came there for, and then remember which way to go up and down the aisles, too. You know, my goodness. It's tough on an old guy like me.
I haven't even gone out to the stores because I can't deal with all those people. I'll go to the little stores or the little mom-and-pop places or the places that are just, you walk in, you get what you need, and you walk out, and you're good. It's all good. Because when there's bigger spaces, there's more people, even if it's an enclosed area.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know.
Well, one of my favorite things to do is if I have to go to get grocery supplies, I wear a mask, my favorite thing is to try to see how if I can smile with my mask on and people notice it, because I always try to smile with it off. And it's pretty fun because about half the time people notice it. They're looking for somebody else to smile with their eyes too. It passes the time because that's, of course, I'm doing that and I'm going up the wrong aisle trying to smile at everybody. So that's smart.
Well, let me ask you something. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say before we even heard about COVID, before I knew anything about it, I had hurt my back very badly. And so I started having my groceries delivered through Instacart. And there are other options, but that's what I started using. And I've been using Amazon for ages because Be Unique gets a portion of the sale. I figure if I'm going to, that's a passive way to donate and receive donations. But yeah. I've kind of gotten into the habit, especially when I found out that I could order beer and wine and alcohol and have it delivered to my house. Why not? I don't go out often. I don't need to go out.
Mm-hmm.
No.
If people are going to be mean to me, I'm not going out.
I mean, if you're wearing a mask and you're less than 6 feet apart, if you're wearing a mask, you're not going to be able to cross-contaminate.
Exactly.
I mean, so what's the 6 feet away for? I mean, if you're not wearing a mask and feet away, that's maybe a different scenario. But if you're worried about getting something, and even if someone's not wearing a mask and you are, you're still protecting yourself or not protecting yourself. Because there's controversy about wearing a mask and bringing in your own recycled viruses. So it's all.
Welcome back, Jean.
You know, we. We just.
Sorry,
we just,
guys.
Yeah. We just think, outside the box.
You know what? Do you guys remember? Oh, I think it came out in the 80s or 90s. There was a commercial. And my husband and I just call it Sergio commercial. There's this guy, like I think he's Russian or something, but he's sitting in this nightclub and he's got all these women around him. He's flaunting his money and he starts talking about Sergio. And the two single guys come over there. They want to get a part of this action, you know? So they're like, do you know Sergio? And the guy, the two men are saying, yeah, Sergio's our friend. He sent us over here. He said, to come to see you. How do you know Sergio? Are you sure you know Sergio? And one guy says, yeah. He's like tallish, shortish. He's got brownish, blondish hair. His eyes are greenish blue and gray. And they're doing more hand motion than anything else. And they're throwing out all these words. You know, he might be this, he might be that. And the guy goes, yeah, that's Sergio. That's exactly who he is. Is Sergio going to be here tonight? No, he just told us to come join you. So next thing they know, they're in a limousine drinking champagne with all these models, and they're having a grand old time. Then they jump on a private airplane, and so the guy with the money goes, hey, wait, we should call Sergio and tell him where we're going. And the two guys who have no clue who Sergio goes, are you sure that's a good idea? And then the playboy goes, nah, let's leave him home. So they go off into the wild blue yonder without Sergio, who was their point of connection. And nobody knows Sergio but this one guy with the money. And see, that's how I feel. I call the COVID virus Sergio, because wearing a mask is good, but not if it's not the right kind of mask. You wear a mask to cover your nose and your mouth, but then you might breathe in recycled air. Stay 6 feet apart, but don't isolate yourself. Socially distance, but stay close to your friends. You know, it's like 1 minute they tell you that it has. I mean, my husband had a gastrointestinal issue last week, and we called the doctor, and he said, "Well, you should go get tested for COVID." And we said, "But he's not coughing. He's not having breathing difficulties." And the guy says, "Oh, you didn't know? Now COVID can manifest itself as gastro problems."
Mm-hmm.
It's like you said earlier, Elisa, it mutates, it changes. It's a different kind of virus 40 different ways from Sunday. So you're either going to get it and die or you're not. You know, it's like you can't win for losing. So I just call it Sergio.
Well, that is a fear for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're all here and we're all going to go eventually. So, I don't know. You know, it's just one of those things where I guess it's how you perceive things to be. and how you receive them, you know? It's like you said, if 10 people can sit in a group, those 10 people leave and go see 10 other people and see other all of it doesn't make sense, but it's okay. I'm not here to make sense of what I can't make sense of.
Sure. I'll tell you something that I can't make sense of. I saw a Facebook post, and it came from a news source on Tuesday. Now, Monday was Memorial Day. On Tuesday, they had 424 new cases of COVID after Memorial Day weekend, 7 people dead. Well, going out Memorial Day did not cause that.
No, it did not.
Right.
Because they have told you it takes 2 to 4 days for the test to work.
Sure.
And, you know, it has to be in your system at least 2 days, possibly 4, maybe as many as 15, who knows. You know, Sergio's at it again. It's one thing after another. And those people who died didn't die because they went to the beach on Memorial Day. They've been sick for a long time.
Right.
But that headline was put there to put fear in ignorant people. That's my...
Well, I think that's...
You know what?
That's the whole big issue is the fear. And I think COVID is less the issue even than the fear. Because, you know, if you think about it, the media has had us afraid of everything you can possibly imagine since I'm thinking back, you know, I keep thinking, you know, and
yeah,
it's how they get people to pay attention, you know. I mean, that little ticker at the bottom that run for a month straight, COVID cases, this county, people are scared to death. They're just sitting there terrified of everything else, and now this, you know. And
well, there's a lot of people in the county, and pretty much everybody's getting it throughout the whole globe. It's like a cold, a flu, whatever. There's a lot of people in this world. Of course there's going to be a lot of people who have it because we're all going to get it. We're all going to get it. It's inevitable. And if it means
we're
all going to
die,
again, supposedly. And
well,
so
you know
what the whole key to it is building your immune system, doing healthier choices, getting fresh air, putting good things in your body, healing, laughing, enjoying life, okay? Because we live in a world where if it's passed through air, we breathe it. We're going to get it.
Sure.
They're opening Disney. I would just love to hear how they're going to do social distancing on every ride, social distancing going in line, social distancing in restaurants, wherever. I mean, I would love to see it because not sure how that's going to happen. And honestly, when you sit on a plane, is there 6 feet between the window and the end seat? Because it doesn't look like 6 feet to me.
Yeah.
I'm just finding out.
Yeah.
I'm going to carry a tape measure.
Well, you know, guys.
If it works.
Well, you know what? I have to.
There.
It's a big distance. You don't think about it, but it's a long distance.
It is. It's as tall as one of my kids. And I'm telling you, he's from the front door to halfway in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, 6 foot is a very, it's kind of a lot further away than most people are. I don't know. I guess if you stay to somebody's perception of what their 6 feet is, you're okay.
Right. Right. Well,
I had
you know
a lady,
too?
This is,
oh.
What, go ahead.
Go ahead, the lady.
So I went to go get a donut. This is really funny. And it was a vegan place. And it was a vegan donut, okay? And the lady behind the counter says, "Hey, ma'am, you need to stay 6 feet from the person who was in front of me." And there was a case to look at the pastries or whatever. So I'm like, oh, okay. And she's like, "You're not 6 feet." I'm like, "Okay, well, where am I supposed to stand? We're in a small space." And the lady's winking at me who's in front of me like, "Whatever, lady. It doesn't matter to me." And then she goes to hand me the donut, and she's literally in my face. And I said, "Ma'am, you are definitely not 6 feet away from me. You're literally in my face giving me my donut."
But it's okay.
Oh, I think
if
you
I
just
do.
Yelled at me. Oh my gosh, you guys. I sit here and I'm like, what is wrong with people? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And I'm not even going to try. I want to just videotape it all.
Yeah.
You know, because it's funny. And then I go and sit on a beach, and believe it or not, there's people there and somewhat a little bit crowded, but people are distancing themselves. And it's really kind of nice because it seems like it's natural. Everybody just goes and does their thing, sits alone in their little groups, and everybody's happy. And maybe we should use the beach model.
Well, maybe.
They're complaining about the beach, and I'm like, we should have the beach model of COVID distancing if you really want to see, because this is how it should be done. But whatever. You know what? It's just one of those things where a lot of people right now are going through this purge of releasing the change and accepting it. And, you know, at first it was a shock. It was a trauma. So everybody was shut down, processing, freaking out all alone. And now people are starting to process through it and go back out. And now they're going through the freak out fear of how everything is changed and does feel different and everything is not normal the way we remember it. And so they're now they have to reprocess it through another purge of existence, and it's affecting people in a really poor, negative way. And I guess I was not aware of it because I stay in this space of love and light and happiness and joyfulness and let's have fun and, you know,
and what is it you always say, Gene?
Yeah, I'm about fun. You know, if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. And I gotta say, I listened to you just describe that, and I have lots of negative around that I see, and I have kind of the same experience, but I knew it was there. You know, I guess that's what I'm saying.
I'm gonna press the button and take a break, folks. Hang on. Okay. We'll be right back.
Okay. If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org.
And we're back with Elisa and Gene. We're talking about pausing and social distancing and empathy and weird people doing weird stuff. You know, it is strange that people, you think you know people one way and then you find out. And I guess that's true with everything in life. Whenever there's a trauma or a disruption, you learn who is going to be at your side, that you know in the tough times who you can rely on. Don't you agree?
It's true. Yes. She stays there. But, you know, I'm going to tell you also, this is a time of reflection for all of us and who we're personally supposed to be releasing from the past and the old patterns, and to surround ourselves with like people, the people who, you know, are elevating, or the people who are going in one, you know, the direction of the rise to the next dimension. And, you know, to waste time or to waste energy on the people who are not there with you, it's draining. And it's a time of reflection on what is it that you want to bring into your new world, the new, you know, way of life. Do you want to have all those toxic things in your life, or do you want to release and open to receive the newness that we're being shown as ahead? So we're all reflecting right now. It's called the purge, the pause. It's very biblical. It's very spiritual on so many levels. And, you know, I really feel it's the awakening, and there are people who are going to be removed. There's a cleanse that's going on that people are going to be removed that way. People are going to be removed from the lower frequencies. And people are going to have to awaken and elevate within themselves to be able to accept what has been put there for all of us to come together in a space of love. That's what I see happening. So,
well, do you find that it might be hard for some people to release the ones that don't serve their greater good?
Yes. But this is done like not just in a personal way. This is being done like universally. Like this is a planetary alignment. This is energy, you know, of the shift of the actual earth itself. This is biblical. This has been written. I mean, there's a lot going on right now and people are, you know, a lot of the healers and the people who are very spiritually connected have known there was going to be this shift. There was going to be this new age. We all were prepared for change was here. Okay. Change is right here on our doorstep. We have known this for a while. A lot of people who are not in that space with us, we're not expecting anything. Their life has been completely, you know, unsettled and turned upside down. And, you know, I even have people calling saying, I have no money. I have no job. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills or live. And people are scared and people are truly affected in so many ways, emotionally, mentally, physically, by all of this. So there is chaos out there. And, you know, we have a choice to hold the torch or we have a choice to fall into the chaos. And I personally, I cannot be in the chaos and I choose not to. It might get really, really bad. And I think it's going to get even worse for a little bit before it's going to start to get better because we're going through the actual purge right now. A lot of masks are coming off. I've known this for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The masks are
and that's a different kind
every
of mask.
Level. Yes, like the mask. Like the I always have the saying, the truth always comes to light. Well, we're going to start to see the truth.
Let me tell you,
evolve.
When we first started hearing about COVID, as the editor of Be Unique, I heard it and I'm like, we're not writing about that. We are not going to talk about this at all. It's just not, you know, that doesn't jive well with the Be Unique, happy-go-lucky, positive stories. However, the writers, they know who we are. They know how we work. And Gene just wrote his first article, and it's about the age of Aquarius, which is ushering us into all this change and this paradigm shift. And Rena, who is our German writer from South Korea, she wrote an amazing article about how Mother Earth takes a deep breath right now. And Michelle Schaefer wrote an article. She wrote three articles. She couldn't stop. She wrote about how quarantine might be harder for introverts and how this COVID is helping to reboot humanity. And I'm like, well, you know what? Maybe we do need to address this. We can't just hide from it and say it doesn't exist because it does. And I mean, we still have our other stories. Like we always have stories about other nonprofits and charities and people that are just doing good. But a lot of people are making changes on a personal level. A lot of people are, in fact, Anna East, one of our writers, she shaved her head. And she talks about that in her article. And I won't give that away, but I'm not going to say it does or doesn't have anything to do with this virus, but it has to do with her space and her place in this time frame that we're in right now. So everybody is going through something, but we're all going through it together.
Together.
Even though
People are awakening. They're awakening to their truth. They're awakening to who they are and finding themselves. Everybody is being pushed in that space. so, system can't receive it.
Exactly. And even though they may think that they are coping and dealing with things, they may not be. And I think it's up to all of us to come from a place of love and light and kindness. When somebody does, you know, when somebody throws a dart at you, if you can't catch it, dodge it. And if you can't dodge it, make sure you've got your armor on so that you can bounce it off of you. And if for some reason you get stuck and you start bleeding, then deal with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
I almost feel that decision should not be made as permanent for right now. I think any disconnect that is being made, even if it is going through the process of saying this one's not really healthy for me right now, because so many people may come up and be there up ahead on the level that they need to be, where they're walking with the like energy.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just going through that process that we've kind of already gone through ourselves, and some are kind of late bloomers and some have not even started and now they're starting.
Right.
So everybody's kind of like awakening, but we're here leading the way. You know, we're here guiding the way. And for those who, you know, want to turn to the faith, I'm here to open my arms to help them in the faith and not the fear. I choose that.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has their choice, but everybody's, you know, it's like becoming spiritual or becoming gifted in your, or connecting to your true gifts and really mastering them. It takes time. And a lot of people just started just a couple months ago. We've been doing this a long time. So it's about being empathetic and understanding that they're not in the same place we are, and they are freaking out. And so, but you know, it's not that we have to walk into the chaos. We can stand here and hold space to help elevate them when they're ready and show them
absolutely
that this is the way.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, I tell you that I've seen several times when you just meet someone with kindness and understanding, even when they're coming at you stabbing with daggers. And listen to them, and it's just amazing how that immediately diffuses 80% of everything, and then you can even have a chance to talk, or at least,
yes,
you know, at least communicate.
You know what I've noticed, too? People are so focused on what's wrong instead of how to make it right.
Oh, my God. Give me a microphone and come with me. Oh,
you have one, Gene.
Oh, I know, and that's the whole thing. And that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for, is I'm here to show people it's not hard. You don't have to know anything at all other than just try something. And if it doesn't work, try something else. You try 10 things, and I'll bet you 4 of them will be fun. Come on. Who knows what happens after that? And so anyway,
because
it sure did for me.
People focus. No, they feel comfortable in the old paradigms of focusing on the chaos and what's wrong, because that's how they receive their energy of, you know, people feeling sorry for them. But you know what? You're on your own, kid. Everybody's on your own. You either come up or you don't. And so let's focus on what's right. Let's focus, like people are focusing on the separation of what's going on with these horrible things that are happening to people because of color or race or because of religion or whatever. Focus on togetherness instead of focusing on the problem. And it's like the more we focus on the problem, the more the problem creates and stays alive. It's like wherever you put the energy, it creates that to amplify in that state. So let's focus on love and togetherness and compassion, even with the virus. Let's focus on how to heal, how to build the immune system, how to get healthy within ourselves. So when and if or how or whatever it's supposed to be doing comes into our system, we can walk through it with grace instead of
that is so key. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what we're here to do, is to shift people to look at it from a different perspective, from the fifth dimension, not the third.
What you can do.
Maybe we should have a show on that.
Well, yeah, what you can do. Yeah, you tell me. Oh, absolutely. You tell me what your problem is. Well, that didn't work. What can you do, you know? My uncle, oh, my goodness, 80-something years old, lifelong rancher, getting around, you know, making a point to do it even though he's retired. He was climbing on a piece of equipment, fell, broke his leg, had to go to the hospital. He'd been in the hospital for a month, just dying about getting out. And he's home finally, talking to him on the phone, and said, so you're going to be getting out and about, taking a look at your property? And he's like, yes. He didn't think about how he was going to do it. That was his next step. How am I going to do it? I don't know, but I'm going to do it. You know, and I just, that hit me. I heard it on a speakerphone across the room, and that's my Uncle Laverne. I know him. he's a rancher. Does what he needs to do, you know?
Well, you know, that's how God, the universe, source, spirit, whatever you want to call it, works. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look into the Bible, it says, knock and the door will open. Ask and you shall receive. It doesn't say, wish and tell me what if.
Yeah.
It doesn't say, bring me your problems and we'll discuss how you're going to fail. It just says, knock on the door. I'm going to open it.
Wait. What are problems? Because really, we create what we think is a problem. So it's things that get put in our path that are, you know, I say obstacles, or cause us to step back and take a look from a different perspective, is there for that purpose. Because the way things were going, we're not going in the right direction. So God put a halt on the world. Guess what? People wake up.
It's an opportunity for a solution. It's not a problem.
Exactly.
No. The solution is that we're all here together, going through this together, and we're going to either choose to be in chaos and fighting and fear and death and demise and destruction and all the low vibration, or love and compassion and connection and helping one another in a state of love. And
let me ask you guys something. Let's just say that instead of talking here on the on the podcast tonight, the three of us decided that we wanted to meet and have a conversation physically. So Gene starts out from where he lives in Melbourne. I start out in Merritt Island, and Lisa comes over from the Orlando area. But we decide we're going to meet in the middle somewhere. We're going to just meet right here. Well, when we get there, there's a big sinkhole. Where we were going to meet isn't there. You could say, oh my, look, it's a problem. Or you could say, what else can we do? How else can we do this? We would either walk around it or drive around it. We'd pick up the phone probably, call each other and say, well, you know what? There's a sinkhole here. We can't make it. Or the restaurant's on fire or whatever. But if there's something that stops you from doing it the way you plan to do it, then you need to have a backup plan, or maybe not necessarily a backup plan, but you need to be adjustable or flexible enough to adjust your plans and not go, oh, woe is me. I'm the world is going to end. I've got a problem.
But that's surrendering, and people don't know how to do that because they're so in the space of the ego of control of their own desires, their own expectations. And so to let that go would mean that they'd have to surrender and become vulnerable to what do I do now, instead of just letting it happen the way it's supposed to. And that's what we're here to teach people, is let things just unfold the way it's supposed to. Everything is always for our highest good.
Well, yes, it is. And, you know, and I have to, that first baby step is a hard one for so many people. And I have to say that if I can help somebody get that first baby step, because I, more than once in my life, that baby step is all it took for me to get rolling. And And I remember my experience of moving here to Melbourne, and it wasn't not my choice. I was actually thinking more in terms of the Colorado Mountains, but I did come here, and I was so bummed out, and I didn't know anybody, couldn't find anybody, and I got involved in flower seed trading, and all of a sudden the happy people just popped out of the woodwork, and that's actually
Don't
how I ran into Green Gables stuff, you know, and. So everybody's there, but that was my baby step, and I was in this terribly low vibration. I mean, I was singing bass for a long time, and it was really something that it just that one little baby step, and then I met some people, and then a little bit more. And you know what else? Speaking as someone just getting into that, it was really tough at first to force myself to get up and go out and do these things at first, because it was so unlike what I'd been used to, just sitting and be, you know, grouching or whatever. And, but then again, like it just, like you said, just becomes easier and just starts flowing. And it just, it's amazing how stuff just automatically happens around you when you're just expecting it. You know, it's crazy. I expect to have a good time, and I do. It's every day I go out there, and it's really true, and it works. And a lot of times people are everything from afraid to surprised to whatever, relieved, I don't know. But it's craziness. There's no reason not to be happy. There isn't, if you want to be.
Everything's magical.
Yeah.
It is a choice.
Yep.
You know, it's funny because you choose to pay attention to what you choose to pay attention to.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So much.
And that's what you attract to yourself.
And every day, it's funny, but I'd rather look at butterflies and dragonflies and the sunshine and the rain clouds and whatever than to look at people hurting one another and fighting and being miserable. And I can't understand that.
Yeah.
We're here all together. We choose how to make it happen every day. You know?
Well, Mary said something one time about choosing to go through strife, being part of the human experience that the divine self does or chooses to do, or however that happens. And that really makes sense a lot of times, because you know, I at this point anyway in my life, I'm willing to put up with some of that if I can, you know, get out among them and ignite just a little bit of the, you know, the little that baby step I'm talking about. You know, as long as I can maintain my own power share of the positivity, you know, I'll pull back when I need to, but it's, I don't know how to even describe it. It's kind of, I told somebody once, it's almost like a superpower, but I don't know what to do with, you know, I'm just kind of experimenting, I guess.
Even Superman, when he first realized who he was, when Clark Kent made that first heroic move, he didn't know how. He just did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just learned one thing. When you surrender and you just live in the moment, everything just shows up automatically. It's like a gift.
Yep.
It's like, it's almost like all the treasures just show up in your path when you just allow it to be.
They do.
You know?
I just
we always
want to
plan, and I always
say,
God laughs.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where, you know, people are learning to let go and trust and have faith right now. And a lot of people are scared because to let go of their control. But what they really don't understand is they have no control with anything that's happening.
Control than we imagine.
People are like, nothing's normal. And I go, well, what is normal? Because we were molded into what everybody wanted us to think was normal, because that was what they thought was normal. But really, there is no normal. It's what we choose to make normal.
Yeah. Oh, I'll never. I'll never forget the I don't remember how old I was when I growing up. I thought I realized, oh wow, my family isn't the stereotype of normalcy. You know, they're like everybody else. Oh wait, we got the crazy people too, and all that.
We're all
and
crazy.
I always thought
my family was super.
We're all three old enough to know who Norman Rockwell is.
Yeah.
And, a lot of people talk about the Norman Rockwell family, or I didn't grow up in a Norman Rockwell family, but if you look at his paintings, there's a lot of weirdness going on in there, too. You look at those paintings real closely, and, it might look beautiful and normal on the surface, but look behind the kid hanging behind his mama's skirt. What's he doing? Why is he back there?
Maybe being seen and not heard, or not even seen.
Yeah. There's always something going on in the Norman Rockwell picture that's just a little off color.
I think we only see what we choose to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going straight to the weirdo. So that tells you who you guys are in my world. But no, I do tend to gravitate toward the people that are misunderstood or on the periphery of the world. And that's because that's how I am. I revel in my non-normal status. I don't want to be normal. That's a setting on my mother's dryer.
What is normal, though, Mayor?
Exactly. That's the whole point.
Who determines
what's normal? I
think
I'm
normal.
I think I'm really normal. You know, what I do is normal. My life is normal. From my normal.
Sure.
Not everybody else is normal. That's okay.
The definition of normal is conforming to a standard.
Majority.
Yeah.
Yes. Majority rule.
It's consistent with the common behavior of the masses. And
so negativity is the normal.
Well, that's fine with me. They can be that way. I think I've often called myself Pollyanna, because Pollyanna was always looking for the bright side. There's always a silver lining in every black cloud. There's always a rainbow at the end of every storm. I might not see it.
Mm-hmm.
That rainbow may not come in my world, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you know that the word normal, word normal comes from a Latin word, normalis, which described something made with a carpenter's square.
Oh, interesting.
Who wants to be that
square
and rigid?
Yeah.
Look, we're all unique in our own way, and this is what's awakening as the uniqueness. A lot of people cannot handle being in themselves because they've been molded into this box, how to act, how to be, what to do, how to live life. Because everybody else implemented their values or their desires onto others, and people have lived within those, boxes, and they're not happy. And so now they're reflecting on, wow, I was never happy in that job, but now I need money.
Yes.
I need this. Who am I? And they don't know who they are. And it's kind of sad because a lot of people don't know who they are, and they walk a lifetime that way. And it's about, wow, guys, well, now – awaken,
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people here, especially right now with their isolation, is having to face themselves like never before.
Yeah.
You know, have never done it, and they don't even know how to do it. It's like, ah!
Okay, I've got a question for you. What do you think of when somebody tells you to think outside the box?
Oh, my goodness. Yeehaw! Is my first response. Let's go.
I do that every day, girl.
Yeah.
Well, no, see, when people tell me, Mary, we need to think outside the box, I'm like, what box?
Right.
Show me this box.
Box of what people call normal.
Exactly.
Yeah. and, the little square, yeah.
Well, I think when people say think outside the box, that's because in their mind they have a box. And only certain thoughts fit in that box, and they want you to think of things that are outside of that. But I live outside the box. I don't, you know, the only box I know about is my cat's litter box. And I certainly don't want to get inside that if I don't have to. But I think people that can't think abstractly, or people that are afraid to think independently, are the ones who need the word normal.
Yeah.
It's people who are not aligned with their self-truths that are stuck in the other paradigms of the box. And maybe that's the name of the book, is The Box, because most of us are groomed that way since when we're children until we're 8 years old, we play in our spirit, and then we become into the box. We become egotized.
So that's about when we join school, you know. Maybe the first year or two of school, not so much.
Yeah, and then you're stuck, and then you are in a box because you're learning along with other children on a certain level, even if you're accelerated. Even if you're not accelerated, you have to be in the certain normal to carry on to the next level. And it's like, why is it people are not able to be their own individuals and evolve on their path level instead of with what is normal in the box? You know, everybody develops differently. Everybody awakens differently, and everybody, I don't know, has different gifts that they can step into.
And think about humanity as a whole over historical time frame. Until the Industrial Revolution, most people were farmers. There were a few business people, but most people were farmers, or they lived very simple lives. But then we had the Industrial Revolution, and people started putting themselves in these boxes. They got out of the farms and the fields, and they went into these buildings to build things. And I think that may be where these boxes came from. And then, you know, to be more productive, somebody created a cubicle farm. And I think the lucky ones right now are those of us who, at least, if we didn't work from home before, we at least wanted to work from home, or wanted to break out of that mold of staying in the same square for 8 hours. I know that my husband misses terribly being with his colleagues. I tease him all the time about this one guy that he talks to on an almost daily basis. I say, you guys have a bromance going on, because I can hear the joking and the lightheartedness between them. But they like the interaction and the banter. So they'll call each other sometimes. Oh, I just heard it. I just thought of a joke I need to share with you. But because they're computer programmers, they work inside their heads all the time. But because they're computer programmers, a lot of time is spent waiting to see if the program works or testing the program. So he's totally different. So he thrives on the social interaction, but he also doesn't want it when he's busy.
Sure.
And for somebody like me, I mean, I live in my head all the time. And that's why I think I look forward to Thursday nights. Whether I leave home and go out, I've never been one to go out with the girls or go out drinking and partying. Wait a minute, I lied. I had a phase after my first divorce, after my only divorce. But that's a whole other story. But, you know, I really like being home alone with my computer and my writing and my research. But I think I'm one of the rare ones. I don't require other people to make me happy. And I think,
I get that.
Yeah, people are learning. Really,
I like to be
all
people, though, I have to say.
Oh, I like to be with people-ish. I prefer to be with my flowers and my vegetables.
Yeah.
But
well, kind of like
kind of circles back to... What was that?
Kind of a... I'm kind of combination, sort of an introvert, extrovert. I love the peace and quiet of being able to just have complete and endless time of just sitting quietly with my computer and my choice of noise. But then at the same time, I'm also planning my trip to go out among them, you know.
Make sure you read Michelle's issue in June when the magazine comes out about quarantine is harder for introverts. And when I read that, I was like, whoa, it makes perfect sense. But this kind of circles back to what we started talking about more than an hour ago, because we've lost our hour. We're already into, we're almost out of time, actually. But we do this every time Elisa's on the show. We totally run the show into the ground. But you were talking, Jean, about how people have empathy for their people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I am. I like to be with my friends. I love to be with my friends. And I like meeting new people. If I didn't, you wouldn't have come into my world. But it's like on a day-to-day basis, I don't want to be subjected to everybody else's drama or opinion their energy. I think that's why I'm enjoying this, because I've meditated a lot more. And I mean, for a while, my gosh, when the COVID shutdown first started, I had so many phone calls and so many Zoom conversations, and everybody, I mean, within the first month, I booked podcasts through February. People were like, oh, can I be on your show? Can I be on your show? Sure. Can you wait a while? We're booked up through February. But it's interesting. It's kind of leveled out, which tells me that everybody's like water. They're finding their level. You know, water always finds its own level spot. It'll go to the lowest dip in the floor or the lowest ditch in the yard, and you'll have a little puddle. And I think that's what's happening with everybody now. We've been home doing this so long that everybody is finding their new happy spot. I hope so, anyway.
Yeah.
You go through emotions, too, though. People are going through emotions.
Yes.
Lots.
Absolutely.
You know, they're reflecting on what was and what isn't. And I think they're struggling with the fact that everything they once knew is being taken away and never to be the same.
Oh, it's so true. And so many people have worked so long and hard to create what they thought was going to be their heavenly existence on Earth.
Yeah.
And you know, it's gone.
Yeah. Well, folks, we've been doing this for an hour and 18 minutes.
Oh,
tonight.
And the show shuts off. The show shuts off automatically at an hour and a half. So I want to just tell all of our listeners, next Thursday, 2:00, not at 9:00 at night, we have a very special show. And the reason we're doing it 2:00 p.m. is because it is going to be 7:00 at night in England. And we're going to be talking with our very own Megan Prowse, who is one of our writers. And she's she should have her doctorate by then, I think. Or she's working on her doctorate. So we might be talking to Dr. Megan Prowse. And
wow.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. She's been really – she's the one who writes about self-care and self-love. And she's very – she's a very fun person. I can't wait to talk to her.
Awesome.
And then on Tuesday, of course – Anna East will be back with her show. And I do know that Anna's show is changing. I'm not sure exactly which Tuesdays, but she's not going to do every Tuesday night. She's going to try and every other Tuesday. So once we figure out where we're going with that, we will have a little more flexibility for showtime. We'll have another night that we can do a show.
And I do want to say that I believe this coming Tuesday, if you want to tune in to Anna at 8 o'clock, her show, she's going to have a special guest to talk a little bit about permaculture ideas.
Who is that? The
lovely and talented Jean Albertson.
I love it. I will definitely have to call in and heckle you.
Wow.
I like it.
It's going to be fun. And I can't wait until a month from now. So I'm looking forward to our next show with Elisa already. So.
I am too. That will be June 25th at 9 o'clock. And nobody knows what we're going to talk about.
No.
It's going to be great.
It'll be awesome.
So, Elisa, do you have any parting words for our audience?
I say step on the stairs of faith.
Say that again, please. You skipped out.
Step out of fear and into faith.
I like that.
Step out of fear and into faith. Excellent. And I just am saying have fun while you're doing that.
Yes.
And focus on the solution.
Yes, the solution.
Every problem is the opportunity for a solution.
Yes.
There's no problem.
I know that.
We create our own problems. We choose to create our own problems.
It's a choice.
That's what we call it. That's what we call it for some reason.
It's a word like a box, you know, it's just a word that we put it on.
Yeah.
Well,
focus
I want to encourage
on peace.
Yeah.
I'd like to encourage everybody to go with God, walk with angels in peace, love, and compassion.
And tonight I'm going to add
empathy.
Empathy, yes.
Adios, amigos.
Thank you so much.
See
Bye.
You guys.
Oh, this
Bye,
has been
Elisa.
Awesome.
Bye, Mary.
I'll see you next month.
Jean.
Elisa, I hope
Bye,
to talk
Mary.
With you before then. Bye-bye. Bye,
right.
Jean.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website. That's BUNEKE.org.